Rave Radio. Gary K's Almost Daily Rants and Raves.
The Week.
The Women in AV Wavecast.
Green AV.
Good morning, Rave listeners. Welcome to The Week on Rave Radio. I'm Joel Rollins. The Week is brought to you by Mitsubishi, makers of all kinds of products for the professional AV industry, like monitors, projectors, and a host of peripherals. You can find out more at Mitsubishi.com. We are fortunate to have with us today Dr. Randall Lemke, Executive Director and CEO of Infocom International, who has, as you all probably know, announced his upcoming retirement. Good morning, Randy, and thanks for being with us today.
Hey, good morning, Joel. What a pleasure. I'm really glad to join you.
For those of you who may not be aware, Dr. Lemke joined Infocom International in 96 as Vice President of Education. He came to us from being one of the early leaders in distance education in academia. I remember well Randy's first day in Fairfax as I was teaching the Institute's rental school at the time. At that time, Randy supervised the development and delivery of the association's seminars, workshops, advanced schools, international education, and certification programs. In 1997, he pioneered Infocom Academy Online, an internet-based training system for the AV industry, which currently has over 3,000 students. He took over the reins of Infocom as a whole in 2000, which has since been rather a whirlwind of growth and activity. Among Randy's achievements has been an aggressive international expansion, both in the association and in its trade shows, and many international partnerships. He's also led the association into pioneering efforts in industrial education, member support activities, and the establishment of recognized standards for our industry. In short, to call Randy's time at the helm of Infocom transformative would be an understatement. So, Randy, with that, I want to know, you took over what I remember well as a small national trade association. We were just finding our way out of the NAVA roots that we came from. You're going to leave behind a much larger organization with many new functions and, in many ways, a whole new constituency. What would you consider the key changes you made that enabled that kind of growth and expansion?
Well, first of all, Joel, thanks for giving me so much credit, and I probably deserve some. But remember, this is a membership organization, and the volunteers are at the heart and soul of Infocom. And of course, we got a great staff. So, as I talk about anything that I've achieved, please always remember that couldn't be done without all the great volunteers and staff. But if you look at, you know, what kinds of key changes, you know, when I came into the industry, actually when I came to work here, I'd been in the industry as really a technology manager at a university. But when I came to work here, we really were entering into integrated systems. And there were still lots of companies that considered themselves box sellers. You know, that they had a catalog sales, they went out and they sold products, people put them on desktops. But it was really, the change was already started to where people were really doing engineering and system design and that whole systems integration, which has been very fruitful for the industry. So the key change, I think, as I arrived was that started. We needed to, as an association, to help the industry move along, and we've certainly done that. The changes, you know, since that time have really been what I've been calling net-centric education or net-centric AV, and that's a step beyond. But that initial change to try and help people really build up their skills and their knowledge in the engineering. And you were a big part of it, and other great volunteers that put together the installation school, the design school, the rental school, really teaching people advanced concepts that went well beyond selling somebody a box and then doing a little bit of service. So I think the one key change was doing that at the association. How could you make a change? How could you affect a large number of people with a fairly small association? And our education at the time was all one-to-one, done very well in institutes and at the show and different venues, but it was all classroom courses. Coming with a background in online education, I'd say one of the major accomplishments for me was really to get started the Academy Online, and that still runs today. Some of the same courses that we outlined in 1996, of course, with updates now, still run and are very, very positive. So So key changes, that would be one, and you kind of listed them for me as well, the NCISO for our accreditation, the CTS, when I arrived, I think, as I recall, there were about 50 people who had a CTS, and I think now we run somewhere over 3,000, plus all the advanced CTS, which is a great accomplishment. And, you know, we've really defined ourselves with the ISO accreditation in a way that both the members who gain the certification as well as their customers know that it's a, you know, really a legit program.
I think that's, for me, you know, standing back and looking at it, the recognition of the CTS and the recognition of what we do, I think has been, you know, one of the biggest changes that you led us through. In the years that you've guided Infocom, both the association and its shows, what do you think have been your most significant challenges?
A significant challenge, I think, is really defining the industry and helping the rest of the world understand us. You know, we and still suffer a bit from being isolated, from people not understanding really what we do. People, and not as much now, but certainly 15 years ago, you know, saw AV as a guy pushing a cart down the hall. And really helping people understand what systems integration was about, and now helping people understand what it's about in terms of working over the internet. That's the big thing, because we've got very talented people. We've got solutions that people are looking for and needing, and we got a great market. And if you look at the world itself, the culture has changed, and it's all changed to our benefit, changing that people want visuals, they want audio, print-based is much less part of the communication pattern. So I'd say the biggest challenge has been really that definition of the industry, getting people to understand what we can do. And you know, that helps that we had the NCISO accreditation, working on standards to be able to make that happen. I think our trade shows, and going from 2 trade shows a year to now 11, and putting them on around the world, you know, people look at them as a place of commerce, and they certainly are, and our members use them as that. But they're the outpost of the industry as well, which, you know, North America has led, but it's certainly not the only place anymore. But North America led really the systems integration. You can see it working in, obviously, in Europe on an equal and pattern right now. But as an outpost, we're taking it to India. We're taking it to China. We're taking it all around the world and saying that this is what the industry is all about. So they're important commerce places, but they're also important for spreading the word about what the industry can do.
Yeah, I had a great talk on this show with Terry Friesenberg 2 weeks ago about what I saw this year at Infocom, and you know, being at the show and seeing the show more international than it had ever been before. I mean, frankly, I hung out in the International Pavilion wearing my Canadian flag pin because you had great coffee in there, for one, but also because there was this giant banner of all the shows. And I think that here in the U.S., I don't know that we're entirely aware of all of the things abroad that the industry is doing now. And I think that one of the things that Terry came up with that was a challenge was that we're introducing ourselves as an industry to a place where that's very new. And that, I think, has been one of the things that I've watched with a great deal of interest.
It is. And you can see different places the industry has grown out of different sources. And you can look in India. I'd say that it really came out of a lot of the retail consumer electronics. You can look in out of, you know, Western Europe, much more similar to ours, even though it has a distributor model that's stronger than ours. So that everybody has a different way that it's developing, but people are beginning to recognize it as an AV industry. And that's one of those definition of who we are things that's been so important. We have to define ourselves to our customer so they see us as being an industry, not just someone who's providing me, you know, a set of speakers. You know, because an industry really sells the whole solution and puts together a system that makes whole rooms work versus just selling a box. So we have to sell it to the customer. We have to sell it to other industries. The recognition that needs to take place with telecommunications, with IT, with all of the other communication technologies, I think we've gained in our, acceptance of that. But it's a constant thing that we need to work on. And over the years, we've done different campaigns to try and introduce to architects. We did a program called Evolution. We spent about $1.5 million just working with architects for them to begin to understand more what we do. We're looking at doing more campaigns of that sort in the future, going outside of our talking to ourselves, talking to other people about what this great industry is about.
In the years that you've been guiding Infocom, if you could sum up what you consider the biggest upcoming challenges to our industry as a whole, what would they be?
I would say the biggest challenge is not technical. And if people look at, if they talk about IT and AV convergence, and if they're still talking about it as a technology, they're behind the whole thing, because the technologies have converged. We're living on the network. The technologies are working together. The biggest challenge is the business models, because we came with a business model, and IT has a different business model. And, how is the conduct of commerce going to take place around our technology? So I think that's still out there to be defined. I think there's much more assurance, I think, within the AV community that it won't be just eaten up by the IT community. I think there's much more assurance that we have a role there. But at times, I think we still struggle from how are we going to do business? When our industry is changing, it's certainly seeing the role of distribution in North America now that wasn't here before. And that, looks fairly similar to what's going on in IT. You know, what's that business model that is going to evolve? Because the technology is not the concern. It's really the business model that people are going to have to find a way to work. And that is challenging, because you're going to give up, what you're doing. If you're a systems integrator right now, or a design consultant, or rental and staging, you got a pattern and a way of working. And particularly in the fixed install market, that has been changing. And your margins are getting smaller on boxes. And how are you going to be able to sell your design and install work at a time when IT has some different models of how things get done?
You've been going through, at this point in time, since your announcement, one of the things that's hardest for somebody who built an organization, which is helping choose an appropriate successor. What do you think are the major challenges your successor is going to face in running the association?
Yeah, I think, and let me just say a little bit, in my, I think my assistance has been in choosing has been helping him set up a structure. I didn't participate on the search committee and shouldn't have participated on it, but helping them put together a search committee, finding the consultants to do the work for him. I think, but to get to your real question, what is the challenge and who do you need? And I, by the way, am just delighted that they've chosen David Labuscus. And I've known Dave for 8 or 9 years. He comes with a technology background that is different. He has a CTS, but he also has a lot of IT background. He's worked currently with RTKL as an architecture company, an architect company. So he comes with a lot of that background, and I was hoping to see someone who could span particularly the AV and the IT world. And then to throw in that he's got that built environment, I think will be very valuable. So what are his challenges? I think helping people with that business model, again, going back to that, helping, I think, all of us understand what the IT world's about. I think for him personally, his background is obviously stronger on the fixed installation side. He's going to have to come to know rental and staging, which is a whole different world. And you and I have joked over the years that rental and staging has some of the similar challenges. They just have to do it overnight, where fixed install, you know, has 6 months to put a system together.
Well, you can tell Mr. Lubuskas I'd be happy to take him out to some shows anytime he'd like.
Yeah, that'd be great, Joel.
Randy, I mean, with all this and with all the achievement, do you have any regrets? Is there anything that you, looking back, you would have done differently?
Well, that's quite the question, and I was hoping you wouldn't ask me that, because I'm kind of stumped as to regrets. And it's not that I've lived this life of not looking back and having regrets, but if you look, you know, I came wanting to work on online education. It was my expertise. It's what I had done. I was able to accomplish that. I got the great opportunity that I didn't expect here to become an executive director. And Joel, I'm stumped, actually. I mean, of course, there's things that I wish could have worked better. But I don't have regrets other than maybe it could have happened quicker. But, you know, and you know me well enough, I get impatient.
No.
But I think things work at the pace that they work at. And our industry, I think, has made a lot of change from where it was 15 years ago. It's still got a lot more coming up. I think the association's trying to, you know, change alongside of it. But no big regrets. I'm thankful every day that I had this opportunity to work in this job.
Okay. Well, I'll have to admit to having been personally stunned when I heard the announcement of your retirement. Retirement for somebody like you, Randy, is usually a relative thing. Will you continue to be involved in the industry? And if so, how?
Well, I am, you know, people ask me, what are you going to do? You're only 62 years old. And I'll be 63 shortly, but, when they look at it and they ask me, you know, you're retiring early, what are you going to do? And my wife's retiring on the same day. We're looking at a pretty traditional retirement. Now, traditional retirement today is different than before. We'll live a very active life. We certainly are looking at leisure activities. We do a lot of boating. We'll spend winters in Florida and things like that on our boat. As to the industry, I know I'm going to step away for, it's got to be a year or two. It's only fair to Dave Lubuskas that I don't show up at InfoCom this year. Dave's the new CEO. Dave needs to have the opportunity of doing that without me lurking around. Now, will I be interested in the industry? Will I continue to be involved? You know, that time will tell. Right now, I'm looking at more of a traditional retirement. Who knows, in a year or two, that I do want to become more actively involved. I know I'll be actively involved talking with staff and people that have become my friends in the industry, but I'm not looking for a role, either paid or unpaid, coming up.
I have a funny feeling some of your friends are going to drag you back a little bit, but I understand it's a very enlightened attitude, Randy, that you don't want to be, you know, lurking in the background. And for somebody with your height, it's kind of hard to lurk anyway, I would imagine.
Well, yeah, lurking is probably the right word. It would.
But, you know, I know that we're going to want to hear from you. I know that we're not a group that easily lets somebody walk away. Anyway, Randy, I want to, you know, for all of us, say thanks for the time that you've put in. Wasn't always the easiest thing to do, but, you know, looking back at what you've done, it's been amazing, and it's been a pleasure to have worked with you on it.
Joel, you know, there's, you know, the hard work is good work, and difficult things make for a feeling of success. If everything was easy, you know, there isn't that feeling of success. And I do have a lot of feelings of success, a lot of good friends that I've made here at InfoCom. And, yeah, I'll be around in one way or another. And I always appreciate working with you.
All right. I look forward to seeing you at the show, Randy. Thanks for being with us today.